What's up, podcast? Hope this message finds you well. In this episode, I interviewed Mark Metry. He's a host of Humans 2.0 podcast. He's a speaker, entrepreneur, originally from Egypt, Africa, though today he resides in Boston, Massachusetts, inspiring thousands of people, not only in US, but around the world. We talk a lot about his foundation of humility, his humble beginnings, and how he's overcome social anxiety and different health issues to then get where he is today and inspire many people through his platform. Enjoy and let me know what you think. Cheers.
This is the Tomas Show, your source for personal and professional development.
Welcome to another episode of the Tomas Show. Today, I have a great privilege to sit down with a good friend who has been a tremendous help, assistance, also, you know, a mentor from a podcasting perspective, my man, Mark Metry. Welcome, Mark.
Woo! Dude, thank you so much for having me, bro. Seems like it was just yesterday when we were on the phone chatting about, you know, this idea, and now it is reality. And that's my kind of stuff, bro. So good on you.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate you, man. Obviously, you know, before we got on the recording, I was elaborating around how you were certainly one of the people that pushed me and helped me, you know, get this podcast off the ground. You definitely yourself, you know, you have had a podcast for several years now, Humans 2.0. You're the host of this podcast. It has been ranked, you know, in top 100 list, which is, you know, I can't even imagine what that means. It's a credit to your humility, everything that you've been doing, man. So aside of the podcast, obviously you're speaking, you have your own business, you're based, for those that, are interested, Mark is based out of, Boston, Massachusetts. And I want to, Mark, highlight, I think, something that many people don't talk about enough, and that's your humility, that's your upbringings from Egypt. Not many people probably know that that's where you're from originally. So I want to kick it off, man, and kind of give this opportunity to you here. Please elaborate, kind of, you know, on your upbringings and what, you know, helped you come to the U.S. because we both know as immigrants, that's incredibly tough to do.
Yeah, definitely. So first and foremost, a friend of mine, a mentor of mine, Naveen Jain, he has this quote and he says, humility is the true sign of success. And when you're truly successful inside and out, you don't really, you know, you don't seek validation from others. You know, you don't try to front, you don't try to, you know, be overly prideful about what you're doing to try to, you know, project your insecurities and your ego onto others. And so, you know, that's just something that I'm happy I was not born with, but it just comes naturally to me from my background. Definitely sometimes I get a little bit too boastful, maybe I brag, but I think it's all part of the self-belief. And so for me, I wasn't actually, I was actually born in America, but my parents came from Egypt. And, you know, so the story is like in 1995, 1996, a year before I was born, they came from Egypt. You know, they had a daughter, my sister. They won a green card lottery visa.
Oh, wow. That's so awesome. Yeah, I applied for that in the past, but it's so difficult to get, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And, you know, they came over here with $200 and, you know, they had degrees from, you know, being educated in their country. My dad was an engineer. My mom was a part of the Egyptian justice system. But, mm-hmm. you know, when they came here, they basically found out that they had to, you know, redo basically their schooling. And when you come here without that much money, you know, you don't really have time to be able to take care of kids and do all this. And so my parents worked, you know, whatever jobs they could, you know, really live the immigrant lifestyle. Started off in Massachusetts in Lawrence, which is like,
yeah,
which is like the most dangerous town in Massachusetts. So, you know, beginning was very, very, you know, it's very, very, I don't know what the word, it's very humble. And so, you know, after that, we moved around a ton. We moved around to different apartment buildings. You know, honestly, you know, all the memories in my childhood are pretty awesome. Like, I don't really remember of a time where, you know, things are too awful or, you know, thank God I didn't get, you know, nothing horrible happened to me, thank God. And, you know, my parents definitely have their issues, like every family. But my parents were super, super kind, super, super compassionate, really, really supported me throughout my life and continue to support me and, you know, really taught me so many of the different things that I live by today. But, you know, it wasn't exactly, you know, smooth sailing. So, you know, Thomas, I have memories of, you know, me being like me beginning to enter into like the third grade and, you know, me having a, you know, variety of health issues. Like my parents told me when I was first born, I basically came out of the womb and I had a super, super abnormally high fever. Doctors didn't know what to do. I almost died. The same exact thing happened 6 months later as a 6-month-year-old baby. And so that was definitely the start of some health issues. And by the time I was in third grade, I had a wide variety of health issues that you know, really all stem from autoimmune, which is, you know, I had things like asthma. I couldn't focus. I didn't feel my brain was on. I couldn't go to sleep. And you know, when you kind of live like that, I didn't really have any energy. I didn't have energy to be myself. And on top of that, one of the schools that I ended up moving to, and we ended up settling down in Massachusetts outside of Boston when I was in third grade, it was in a super small town, maybe like 4,000 or 5,000 people. And, you know, my family and I, we were about the only ones who in that entire town who were not white, who did not look like everybody else. It was maybe us and maybe a couple other families. And so, you know, there were a lot of nice people in that town. Very, very kind individuals, but you know, there were some, you know, racist, you know, bastards, you know, for lack of a better word. And you know, so when I was growing up, in that sort of
setting
stage of my life, combine that with, you know, the health issues, the environment that I was always in, it really became a thing of me, like, every classroom I walked into, everywhere I would go, my brain would just tell me, you know, Mark, you don't look like any of these people. You're different. Just try to like survive, just try to get by. And so, you know, really from basically third grade to all the way until I graduated high school, I was living in like this survival scarcity bubble, where my life was just, every moment was filled with anxiety. And I mean, it was really, really crazy to think. It's really crazy to think about it now. And, you know, the way that this evolved, I don't know if you have any questions, but the way that this evolved is, as I was growing up, since I didn't really have any friends, since I didn't have any energy, I never played sports. I was always the kid at lunch that would just sit by themselves, or I would try to go sit with the kids who also didn't have any friends, or who just moved in. And, you know, my sort of escape from all of that was playing video games. And as I was playing video games, maybe like in 2007, 2008, I got my first laptop. I did the dishes at a pizza store. I scrubbed the floors. I worked that job for a summer. I saved enough money to buy a laptop, just a very small, like little netbook. And I just began to just do all sorts of stuff online. Definitely some of it was just playing games and some of it was aimless. And some other stuff was I began to like learn. I began to learn how to code from a young age. And I, on top of that, you know, since I said I really love playing video games, I also began to like go on YouTube and, you know, try to figure out how to get better at video games. And so I always had a desire to do better. And I think now that's sort of like where my self-development comes from. And it's always sort of been there. It's just been maybe misdirected or not aimed at the right direction. And so basically, long story short, you know, I ended up recording myself playing video games and putting them on YouTube. And this is like me at a very young age. I think it was like 12, maybe a little bit older. My YouTube channel ended up having like 35,000 subscribers. And, you know, that was at a time where...
Just from those recordings.
Yeah. And I would commentate over them too. And I would talk over them. And so it's so funny looking back at now, but yeah, I mean, that was at a time where YouTube wasn't even, you know, YouTube. Like that was a time where, you know, YouTube now is basically the TV of our society. But back then, I remember whenever I tell people what I was doing, it was just the craziest thing ever. It was like, wait, you record videos of yourself and put them on the internet? Like it was just such a crazy thing, but now it's commonplace. And so, you know, how this began to evolve is another, you know, memorable moment in my life is by the time I was like just turning 15, I ended up discovering this game called Minecraft. And, you know, I'm sure if you have kids, I'm sure you've definitely heard of it. It's like still one of the top games out there today. And, you know, I was playing it with a friend of mine. And we wanted to play together. So there are these multiplayer servers that you can join and you can basically just play with your friends. There's different kinds of game modes. And so for me, like a couple weeks playing Minecraft and being on different servers with my friends, you know, I just didn't really like any of the servers. They weren't, they weren't fast. They were laggy. The features on them kind of sucked. So like, I remember literally the next day, just sort of haphazardly, I just sort of Googled it, you know, how to make a Minecraft server. And I ended up starting this thing called, it's called PPMC. And, you know, to make the long story short, within literally like 8 months, it became the world's number one Minecraft server. And I sort of just went from this kid that just sort of played video games to all of a sudden making six figures, making hundreds of thousands of dollars from honestly something that I loved doing. And, you know, if you recall my story, you know, I've never had access to money in my life. You know, I had a very humble beginnings. Probably the most amount of money I had ever seen is like a couple hundred dollars. And so when that happened, I mean, that to me is really the start of everything. And what I mean by that is like a lot of people hear this in my story and they think like, oh, you know, this is when I began to like figure myself out, like who everybody sees me as today. And it was definitely the start, but it did not take me in honestly a great direction. What ended up happening is I actually got more confused in life because, you know, looking back at it now, my unconscious beliefs, my unconscious narrative about my story in life was, you know, basically the American dream, like the concept of you going to school, graduating, going to college, getting a degree, working some kind of job at a company, and then working your way up to a six-figure salary, maybe even an executive, buy a house, get married, have a dog, and then, you know, all of your problems in life go away. And that was my belief. And so when I was 15, 16 years old, I was literally making hundreds of thousands of dollars, I very, very quickly realized this was not true. And the fact that, you know, I still viewed myself as the same old loser, but I had this belief of if I have money, then people, you know, will like me or I'll think better about myself. And none of that happened. In fact, it was actually the reverse. And it was so interesting because I started questioning so many different things about my life, right? Because I was in high school and I'm walking around and all of a sudden I'm making more money than obviously all the other kids, the students, more than the teachers. And that's not to say like, you know, I'm not trying to be prideful or anything like that, but that's just how I thought it was supposed to be. And so
Mark, there's so much to jump into and I appreciate
I'm sorry, tangent.
No. It's such a amazing, comprehensive background and story. You know, I have definitely a few questions here. You know, I'm curious, so you moved here from Egypt with your parents and you start recognizing that you have these perhaps medical issues per se. And you battle with, things which so many people today, I think, struggle with, which is, social anxiety or else, I applaud people like yourself, and there's, Kevin Love and the athletes, I think, making this bigger, point today to really speak about that stuff, because if you do speak, then it helps others and through conversation, we can make a difference and prevent similar instances for the benefit of other people. So how did you know like what direction to go? Where you with the video games and the laptop and everything else, was this just a natural path for you that was guiding you like, hey, you know what? It's very unfortunate. This is how I feel. Because there's so many options that you can all of a sudden choose to kind of, I don't want to say escape, but perhaps maybe at the time, that was a path of, to escape for you. So what did you make, how come did you choose that path as opposed to perhaps doing something else?
Yeah, man, that's a really good question. So, this is the way that I describe it to other people. A lot of us, I would say most people have some kind of, big issue that they feel like in their life is the issue. For me, I felt like that was social anxiety. For some other people, it might be, you're not okay with your body image. For some people, it might be, you have a terrible household and your parents hate you. You know what I mean? Like there's such a wide variety of issues somebody can have. And, I think it all comes down to, really coping mechanisms. So somebody, for example, may be in the same exact position that I am, but they decide to cope with this issue by joining the baseball team and becoming the best player there and working their face off at the gym or with their team. Some other person might try to cope with it by, having sex or by, partying or by drinking or by, even reading. And so for me, this was just a very natural thing that I didn't even think about. And it was just sort of my coping mechanism, what I thought I had to do. And, one thing I want to say is like, when this was going on, I did not think I made it. I didn't even understand what this actually was. And, funny enough, Thomas, like I'll tell you, I literally realized this was a significant part of my story only when I was 19, when I was being interviewed on the first podcast I was ever invited to be on. And the first thing they told me is, so we heard you have a Minecraft server. And my mind was like, who cares? Like nobody, like why is that even important? And it was only until that moment where I was literally like, oh my God, I just connected all the dots. And so a lot of this stuff was natural. And honestly, I would say, I was not somebody who, had some kind of like epiphany and awoken at that young of an age. I had one as I got older. But I was not somebody who, woke up at 15 and was like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. It was very much like a haphazardly, like a dumbfounded, something that I just sort of stepped into unknowingly, but it really, really was something unbelievably profound.
I think I made an observation, I've been watching you, I've been following you, obviously, and I'm very profoundly impressed with who you are as a person, and what you've accomplished, despite such a young age, obviously, which is not to discredit you. This is the biggest compliment mm-hmm. that I can really provide. But I think, you know, you just had, this is just my genuine belief, you had perhaps genuine understanding of your surroundings. This is kind of how I'm interpreting things, because, you know, you talk a lot about predictions and things and how what's going to happen in the next year or in the next few months. So I think you have a gift, man. You have a really a gift of understanding what's going on around in your life versus other people's lives versus what's currently going on with technology or things that are really are appealing to you, and thus you're mm-hmm. able to make these applications and perhaps start applying some action towards things that some people may not even know that it's going to be that thing, you know, in a few months or a year or 2 years. I mean, look at the kid that just won, $3 million in New York at esports, playing. Mm-hmm. And I was watching this. I was just like, I couldn't believe what I'm seeing, but this is it. Like, and there's so many people bullying or criticizing, young people playing video games and whatnot. And mm-hmm. I think you were able to recognize that this is perhaps not only maybe a sort of escape for you, but also, you were building this path of discovery of yourself and interaction via mm-hmm. video games helped you, I think, uncover that. And that was just what it all started. So it's you think it may not be, on purpose, but I think you just are gifted, man, and you just knew from the get-go where you were getting yourself into, and like, okay, I will try to do the best I can with what I have. That's immigrant, a mentality that I can relate to, and you were able to recognize the resources and everything, the tools that you have around you, what you're gifted with at the time being, and like, hey, I'm gonna crush it and I'm gonna make the most of it. So that just credit to, I think, to your gift and skills, man. I wouldn't discredit yourself, because again, you speak from an incredible level of humility. But that's how it all started for you. And I'm curious, not many people talk about, obviously there's a lot of stuff out there about your issues from a medical perspective. But I'm curious to hear more about Egypt also. Are you going back much? Have you been back? Do you speak Arabic? Those questions that come to mind, sure. Because I'm very fascinated about the world and geography. So I'm curious to hear, maybe also, when you got to Massachusetts, I think a lot of immigrants, what we do is we look for our people. Like a lot of Polish people try to find their own people and kind of, make friends. So I'm curious how that path was for you and your family.
Yeah, man. So first, before I answer that, what you were saying before, thank you. And I really believe that, I'm somebody who I definitely consider, spiritual. I've had enough experiences in my life to understand that, we don't just live in this physical reality, and there's something much more that is ephemeral that we can't really, explain in language. It's ineffable. But I definitely think that I low-key knew what I was doing when I was like 11 years old.
Exactly. Because it was subconscious. It was natural to you. It's a gift, man. It's I can see it, because the posts that you create, the content that you create, everything has this dosage of you study, the industry so well. You study everything around you. You study human behavior, and I think that's the gift. And as a result of which, you have an edge because you dive in to a lot of different things with subconscious belief, like, you know what, this is going to be like so helpful, and I can not only help others, but along the way, perhaps I could, you know, establish, you know, a career and kind of redefine this American dream, and I can just create it. So you are the creator, man. You are the revolutionary, really, leader and a person that I think, and I'm not trying to say this to really blow smoke. Right. I really, you know, I'm a person that also studies others, and I think I can recognize that there were so many different factors that contributed to who you are as a person, and being an immigrant is one of them, but conscious understanding where you should spend your time the most at an early age, despite of your old medical issues, was critical to where you are. And it will drive you going forward, man. It really is.
Absolutely, man. And what I'll say is, like, the experience that I went through is how I got my superpowers. And so, you know, to give us some contrast, the reason why today I am healthy is because most of my life I was unhealthy. Mm-hmm. Today I am successful because growing up I was not successful. Growing up with social anxiety really enabled me to perceive others, because when everybody else was too busy talking and thinking about themselves, I was that quiet kid in the back that was just watching other people's behavior. And so a lot of this stuff is sort of what gives me, you know, like, this is sort of like the superhero Wolverine story of how I got my superpowers. I had social anxiety because I wasn't living the life that I really knew I could deep down on some unconscious level. And that is why I'm doing it right now, right? It's like when you are a kid, you're always trying to fit in because you may not be confident. You may not have that well of a self-esteem. But then what you realize is, as you become an adult, everyone's the same and you're literally trying to differentiate yourself from other people. And so when I live through that lesson every single day for the first part of my life, that's how I'm able to, you know, do what I do now and really be myself in every moment, because I've lived that. It's almost like I've lived almost two different lives. And I know I'm, you know, a young guy, I'm 22, but I really feel like I've lived two different lives, and I'm like, I literally feel like I'm a baby. Like, it feels like I'm 3 years old and I'm just running around and I'm experiencing everything for the first time, man. And
I think that you are wiser and older, way beyond your age, given the level of your experiences, man. And that's why I think not only I can relate to you in many capacities, but I mean, you gave me podcast advice. I mean, it's you're ahead of the game, which I already recognized. And I think, again, that speaks volume to who you are as a person and as a professional. And, what I was saying earlier and kind of got off tangent, which I apologize for, but when you guys got here, were your parents consciously looking for, you know, I don't know what the, how many Egyptian immigrants that U.S. currently have, but were you guys looking to kind of blend in, perhaps from a social perspective, and look for your Egyptian friends, or you just kind of were, you know, an international citizen, and you were like, you know what, I'll make your parents, at least, I know already what you were going through, but, you know, coming to a different country is not a walk with the dog to the park. It's difficult, obviously, especially with $200. So how were they able to kind of set up the framework, you know, for you and your family?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think at the very beginning, it was, there wasn't really a framework or, whatever. But definitely as we got older, we joined the immigrant community that, you know, was people like us. And so, man, this is an interesting question, and I've never been asked this on a podcast, but
Because I hope you recognize the value in it, because, you know, I remember coming here and what has helped me, and I came here at 19 and I recognize this as the most critical probably time for me to flourish as a person, as a professional, as an immigrant, because, you know, I came here without my parents, without my brother, like my extended family is still in Poland. And with you, you know, you moved here when you were even younger. Your situation, I think, genuinely was tougher because you did not get a scholarship from an athletic perspective, just like I did. You guys had to really, set up the foundation. And by framework, I mean, you know, the resources and the tools to help you get off the ground and really grind on a daily basis to then help you and position, you know, Mark, you know, in a way so he can succeed. You know what I mean? So that's tough in my mind. And not many people recognize that. People just think that, you know, you just moved here to Massachusetts and like, okay, you know, it's going to be peaches and cream and we are we're going to continue with our lives. It's not like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, it's definitely, definitely hard. And you know, I feel like a lot of people, when they do that, they, you know, try to find their group of people that look just like them. And that's the most natural human tendency you can have. I mean, it's literally rooted in our biology. So, you know, we definitely did that. And the Egyptian community 100% you know, supported us. But, you know, I also think that, you know, it can kind of be the reverse. And it can just be a big comfort zone for you to just sort of settle in and not try to meet and not trying to dissolve in the culture. And you just sort of hang out with the same people. And, you know, I definitely did that too. So I was definitely a part of an Egyptian community. It was much, much easier than school for sure. I was definitely still maybe a little bit shy, but I definitely had, you know, some friends that, you know, I would talk to. And yeah, I mean, I think you've got to have both. I think if you're, you know, somebody coming in and you don't, you know, and you don't know anybody, you know, maybe you can join a community, but also branch out and try to meet other people, try to see what's going on in that country. And so, it was a pretty...
You speak Arabic too, right?
Yeah, I can speak it. I don't know how to read it or write it though, but I can like speak it fluently.
You can speak it. Do you go back a lot? Have you been back since you were born here? Or?
Yeah, so I went once in 2008 and then I went in 2016, which totally changed my life. And I'm actually going back there next year.
In what aspects? In what aspects?
Yeah, man. So I'll tell you. So we haven't even gotten into this with like 15 minutes left of the podcast, but like, you know, really, man, what ended up happening is, basically by the time I was 18, I became conscious of like literally everything. And I became conscious of it. But the matter of the fact is I wasn't actually living that life. So I had, you know, almost like a cognitive dissonance. I had two competing ideas of my head of, you know, idea number one is, Mark, you're a loser. You know, you have low self-esteem. You don't, you can't talk to people. You know, you're going to end up living your life this way. You're going to live some cubicle job and not do anything meaningful for the rest of your life. And then I had this other competing idea in my head of like, Wait, Mark. Look, you know, look what you were doing when you were younger. You know, look at the kindness in your soul. You're destined for way, way more. And so, when I was 18, that was really like the beginning of like my transformation in my life, like my humans 2.0 transformation. And you know, it was ugly. It was a time where I was probably depressed for the longest time of my life. Had my own flirtation with suicide, and I mean, it was just a crazy time. But ultimately, what I realized is the desire that I had to commit suicide, that was actually a good thing. And what I'm talking about is that desire is a lot of the times is misdirected. And I don't mean to poke jokes at this, because 800,000 people commit suicide every year, and it's horrible. It's tragic. I've had some friends who are gone because of it. But this desire to kill yourself, oftentimes it's misdirected, because what your brain is actually trying to get you to do is to say, you know, I don't have any coping mechanisms to deal with the stresses of life. And so this is just what I know how to do to end the pain. And on top of that, it's also misdirected, because what I realized is I shouldn't kill myself, but I need to kill this version of myself that I had created that I was not happy with on the inside. And so when I understood that, it took me a long time, but when I understood that, it was crazy. And while all that was happening, like a few months later, I ended up going to Egypt in 2016. Mm-hmm. And when I went there, I mean, it was crazy, because, you know, Egypt was just getting out of the revolution. And, you know, Egypt is a beautiful country, of course, but has its issues and problems like every country. And when I went there and I, you know, got to hang out with my family, my cousins, I literally saw in front of my eyes what my life could be. And I realized how unbelievably lucky I was. And I also realized how many other people that have gone through the same thing that have not gotten out of it, and, you know, may kill themselves or may think they're a loser, so they, you know, don't end up starting a business or whatever that is. And so when that happened, that completely changed my life. And when I got back from Egypt, I mean, that is what I like those months and years, like just like in my head, that's like, I perceive it as like a Rocky movie, me just like doing a ton of work on myself, me just setting, like living life in a new operating system. And
it's so amazing, man. I think people, you know, again, I love geography. I love to travel. I have yet to make it to Egypt. Such a beautiful country from what I've studied. I think about 95 million people, right? Residents.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Which is, you know, I think it's up there in terms of population around the world. And for those,
definitely
that,
Cairo.
Cairo is just, I mean, that's probably, I mean, if you have to compare in size, I mean, that's LA, you know, yeah. Dallas for sure, the metroplex as a whole. I mean, I think Cairo is 9 to 10 million or so. And for those that may not know, Egypt is in the northeast kind of, you know, corner of Africa. And a lot of tourism. I would tell you, Mark, a lot of Europeans go to Egypt, and I think there's an increasing number of folks traveling from here also to visit those countries. And I'm just so happy, you know, with all that being said, I'm so happy to hear that you were able to go there at that age, see what you saw. And it was a big, like, I don't want to say checkpoint, but like a self-realization moment, man. Where you're like, damn, you know, and I, trust me, I experienced exactly the same thing when I go to Poland, because, you know, Poland is much smaller than Egypt, has its issues. I think it has improved drastically, but, you know, we both can agree that, you know, we are here where we are for a reason. We're very fortunate. You know, that's kind of the nature of an immigrant. You know, you're trying to build a better life here that you could have probably built, you know, in your home of origin. So, and it sounds like, man, you left Egypt, and you even made a reference to the Rocky movie, man. You got back and you're like, man, I'm ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, man. It was, yeah, man. I mean, it's literally crazy. And, you know, today, September 4th, 2019, years later, I mean, it's like, I don't even know how to talk. Like yesterday, I was speaking at an event in Boston, and I was talking to Quentin Allums, and him and I were just hanging out. And, you know, we kind of had like a mutual, you know, very like reminiscent moment. And we were like we were just like looking at our lives, and it's like we're in the middle of like a painting that's being painted. And it's just like, it's the most profound thing. And And honestly, when I think back at everything that's happened just in the last year, I mean, it's like completely just insane. And it just makes me more, it just reaffirms more and more of like how much I never thought that this would be possible. Like even 3 years ago or 4 years ago. And it's truly, truly profound. Like, you know, for me, I'll tell you one like memorable moment is at the end of last year in 2018, I was in New York City, and a friend of mine, Rob Dubay, he works with Forbes, and he basically reached out to me, and he said, he's like, dude, I love everything you do. I love your story. I want to interview you for Forbes. And so we literally did like this massive like 2-hour video shoot of me just like going in depth like this about my life story. And I remember after I walked out of that building, it wasn't necessarily the pride of like saying, oh yeah, look at me, I'm like featured in Forbes now. But it's just like I literally just had like a series of flashbacks like the second I walked out of that building. And it was just seeing all the different events and moments in my life and how they all led up to this. And like, I honestly, like I felt like my brain just hit like a reset button. Like I didn't even know what to do after that. I just like walked around stumbling across New York. Cause I was just like, I needed to like process what had just happened. And, dude, it's literally been so crazy. I know I've been saying this, but I'm just so grateful. And it really makes me, get to this point of like, you know, when I wake up today, every morning, you know, I have things that I do to make sure I fill my own cup up first. But really at the end of the day, for me, it's now about making other people successful and being an image of people that they can follow. Because I remember when I was growing up and I was facing these issues, I mean, I don't think I ever heard anybody talking about this. Like I actually never knew what the words anxiety or depression meant until I was like 18 years old. And, you know, the fact that today, you know, everyone has a phone and, you know, you can look at good content online on social media. It could completely change your life and it could completely change your brain. And so, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. And, I mean, man, I'm like, I feel like I'm about to cry right now, but it's been crazy.
I literally had chills when you were talking about it. You know, about the Forbes interview and everything else. I think it's certainly well deserved. I wouldn't, you know, never undersell yourself, man, because you put the work in and you are where you are here for a reason. Number one, and I think you just have a genuine level of appreciation because of what you experienced, you know, in the past. And it's like, there's this slogan, you know, nothing is given, it's earned. Yes, your ethnic background, how you got to this country, everything else have contributed to it. But, you know, you have been at such a young age, you know, it didn't probably click until I graduated college, and maybe a few years later, I was probably 26, 7, 8, I'm 32 right now, that, you know, the life is about blessing other people's lives and helping them and providing support for the next generation and the community in which you live, work, and play. And I think the life is just so much more fulfilling as a result. And I think the fact that you have realized that at such early age is so profoundly, it's brilliant, man. It's brilliant. It speaks volume of your maturity, speaks volume of who you are as a person. And thus, you know, I'm not surprised one bit that those things are happening for you because you are doing it, man. You have been doing it. You're helping people. You're inspiring. It's not like, you know, I see your content, I see your posts. You never brag. You never say anything. That is, you know, people may, you know, haters will receive it as such, but no, you have such a candid manner in which you articulate yourself and people know it comes from a good place. So I foresee even bigger things certainly ahead of you. This is just the beginning, man. So
Oh yeah, man.
I'm looking forward to seeing you grow and prosper. I know your time is valuable, and I want to be respectful. Two quick questions pertaining kind of your day-to-day stuff. I'm curious, many people have these routines or whatever they do on a daily basis to kind of, you said you have a way to fill your own cup before you get going and everything else. What does that mean? What do you do on a daily basis to give you the fuel to do everything else that you have on your schedule?
Yeah, man. I've interviewed hundreds of the world's most successful people, and you and I could sit here for like literally days and talk about all the different ways. But to me, the ones that have, really infinitely helped me on my journey is eating a healthy diet. I cannot stress that enough. Eating a natural whole food based diet, things that, either come from the ground or, all walking on the ground. Not so much of the, chemicalized processed crap that is in bags and boxes. I cannot stress that enough. Meditation has been massive for me. Really, helped me become aware of really who I am and who I'm not and who I think I am and who sometimes my brain tries to trick me. For me, I never exercised throughout my entire life. When I began to exercise, I was hooked. I exercise every single day, even on Sundays. Could not agree more. And honestly, last but not sleep, this is a big one. Everybody knows this, but I feel like not really many people do it, is 7.5 plus or minus 30 minutes of sleep. So that's 7 hours to 8 hours, depending on who you are. And that's most people. Unless you're in like the 0.00001% of the population that has a mutation that enables them to only sleep for 4 hours, you basically need 7 to 8 hours a day. Those things for me have been, massively, massively helpful. And, probably the last one I'd say is being connected to the world. And what I mean by that is like, connecting to whether it's nature or whether it's just people in your city, not so much living in like a sort of bubble like we can today with all of our modern conveniences, but truly being connected, crazy things happen. Oftentimes if you catch me walking on the street, I've normally got like my headphones in. When I'm in a state where I'm feeling really grateful and abundant, and I am just like walking around in a public place, I mean, dude, I don't know how to explain this, but just weird things happen. Like just people start coming up to me and just start talking to me. I was on like this public trip once, and we were on like a boat, and all of a sudden, like just all the kids of the boat just started following me around. And it's crazy, man. It's just like, I don't know if you like believe in energy or anything of that sort, but I mean, dude, that stuff is real. And as many different ways you can find yourself to free up your energy and be more connected into the world, the more things start to happen for you. And I don't know if that made any sense, but
no, it did.
That to me is what it's about.
I think I've read this somewhere recently. So one of the ways I enjoy disconnecting is somewhat similar to yours. I like to disconnect from social media or from the internet, period. Mm. I've done that in the past. When I went to Cuba, for example, I had no internet for 5 days, and it was my 31st day, and it was amazing. Because it just gives you a different level of appreciation, man. I think, and I can relate with you on that regard. You just start seeing the world differently. You start looking at stuff, and all of a sudden you become more creative. You become more, it's like you become yourself, because we are so into the different mobile devices and obviously computers, things that we do on a daily basis for work and whatnot. But if you can just like sometimes I just sit on the patio and like I look at the trees moving, or I listen to the birds, or like weird stuff like this. But it's such a relaxing state that is similar to yours, because then all of a sudden your brain shuts off and it has these new waves perhaps that are coming to you, and you become more creative. You become, I think, more prone to listening to things maybe you haven't seen before. So connecting with nature, I love that as well, man. I love traveling. Things that you've mentioned that typically people don't think about, but they would be surprised what they could do, just like you said, if you just kind of, you know, start looking around, you know, pull up your headphones once in a while and like, damn, like, you know, this is what I'm surrounded with. This is, and all of a sudden, you know, all these new ideas come up because of that. Mm. So I'm a big believer of that as well. And the last question, man, you know, I can ask you for all pieces of advice probably in the world. Like you said, we could talk for hours given the people that you've interviewed, which is, you know, commanding. And you know, if anybody has not tuned in to Humans 2.0, I strongly suggest you do so. But you know, from your perspective, what type of people, you know, given what you battled, the social anxiety, you know, I would say flirting maybe is a bad word, but that's what kind of you referred to with suicide, as terrible and tragic that is. What type of folks have you followed since kind of, you know, since your teenager days and until today? You know, if you can name a few that brought you value, brought you, whether it's content, whether it's podcasts, who you genuinely believe others should follow too, because they have empowered you in ways that others, you know, have not, or simply don't have capacity to do so.
Yeah. So first and foremost, I would probably not be here without Steve Jobs or Gary Vee. Those two people, like, they were a massive part in my awakening, so to speak. Tim Ferriss, massive. I know a lot of people know these folks, but you know, these people specifically came in my life at a time where they were the right kinds of stories, the right kinds of push, the right kinds of, you know, realizations that I had to make. But you know, today, it's a great question. Today, some people that I follow that I think are crushing the game in a great way is, I mentioned him before, Naveen Jain. He is, the guy's like a billionaire. He has a space company. He has a healthcare company that I think is going to basically reinvent and disrupt massively the entire healthcare system, which is a $1 trillion, you know, empire. He just started a podcast too. He has a book with Richard Branson. I highly recommend looking into him. Somebody else that I really love looking at their content is somebody by the name of Aubrey Marcus. He's the CEO of a company named Onnit, which is like a health nutrition company. And that's somebody who just really like in his soul, spiritually gets it. I mean, there's so many different people I can name, but another person I could, that actually, I really wouldn't be here without somebody by the name of Dave Asprey. He's the founder of Bulletproof. If you ever heard of Bulletproof Coffee, of people putting butter in their coffee.
Yes, sir.
He's the founder of that. I had the chance to interview him. And when I was 220 pounds once upon a time, that is how I, you know, really, you know, like that's actually how I got started on my journey. I, up until I was 18, I never heard the words mindset or self-development. And I, to be honest with you, I wasn't even conscious of all of my issues. A great friend of mine has said, when you're in the middle of the picture, you can't see the frame. And it's like when you're at rock bottom, you don't know you're at rock bottom. And so for me, when I was like that, the only problem that I thought I had was just being, you know, big, was just being fat. I was 220 pounds. And so I could physically see that in the mirror. It was an easily identifiable issue. And so the way I began to lose weight and become healthy and, you know, pick up a healthy diet and all the stuff was through Dave Asprey and Bulletproof and reading his book. So he really started all of it for me, and really led me to this. And so, I mean, it's crazy that we've been able to, you know, chat, you know, ever since he's had such a major impact in my life. But those people that I just mentioned, those are people that I really, really look up to.
No, I appreciate you sharing that, man. Again, I'm so thankful that you took some of the time out of your day to chat with me and be a guest on the show. I really look forward, man, to what's next in store for you. Again, you're barely scratching the surface, man. A lot of great things happening for you, and I'm super, super pumped for you. And I'm your fan supporter. You know, and I'm looking forward to you know, to years of friendship. Hopefully, and meeting you finally, man. We've been fortunate to build a relationship, obviously online via LinkedIn, and hopefully, you know, we get a chance. I know you're coming to Texas, I believe, in January. So looking forward to hopefully meeting you soon, brother. And again, keep crushing it. Don't stop and one bit.
Can't stop, won't stop. Me and my boy Tomas, we never going to stop. I don't even know, man. But that's cool, bro. That's awesome. I can't wait to chat with you soon, and keep doing what you're doing. You're a great host, and let me know how I can help you.
Appreciate it, brother. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to The Tomas Show. Please subscribe and share.
What's up, podcast? Thanks so much for tuning in and listening to this episode with Mark Metry. Definitely give him some love, connect with him, as well as subscribe to his Humans 2.0 podcast. You will not be disappointed, and I look forward to connecting with you soon. Cheers.